Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
91.9 if you're in the Gorge in Hood River, Oregon, White Salmon, Washington.
And 100.7 in
Corvallis. I feel like it's a quiz. Corvallis, right. Albany, and Salem in the Willamette Valley.
And for those of you who are also listening on the web, which you are aware of.
Well, you would be. That'd be intentional. That's www.kboo.fm.
Huh. Mm-hmm. And this is Monday, March 20th, 2006.
Are you sure?
It is. It is supposed to be the first day of spring.
Now, how many people like me automatically assume that it's the 21st and not the 20th that makes it the first day of spring? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how many times I've been told that, I can't quite process that information for some reason. I always get offended when they tell me it's the 20th. No, it isn't. Oh.
Well, you know,
it's one of those pieces of information that just doesn't want to set.
It doesn't set, but, you know, 20th, 21st.
It's a date.
It's a date. And we are glad that you are here, and we are here, and we just greet you this morning. It's about 7:42 in the morning. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste, and we will be talking with you this morning about activities in our communities and communities, our wider community. But first, before we begin our morning conversation, there's some announcements I think we have.
Yeah, I got a few here.
Okay.
I actually got some of these printed off. This one is a little early, but I'll say it now so that I can say it often later. This is CARES Northwest and the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon Foundation presenting an Institute on Child Abuse Prevention Practice. It takes place at the Lorenzen Center, Legacy Emmanuel Children's Hospital, Monday, June 5th. So save the date. Monday, June 5th, 2006, from 1 to 5 p.m. There are a number of speakers, and the topics are early brain development, relational healing after trauma, and then shaken baby syndrome, hospital-based stress strategies for the young and their parents. So this is especially relevant to young parents who might not really fully realize the dangers of the shaken baby syndrome. What sex offenders can teach us about preventing child abuse. And then evidence-based prevention programs. So you have a range of topics that would appeal to both the lay and the professional. There is no cost for this workshop. However, pre-registration is required. For more information or to register, contact the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon. The phone number is 503-222-7102, or you can email Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at ctfo.org. Space is limited to the first 120 people.
Excellent.
Is that announcements? Because I got some more. Let's alternate.
Okay, let's alternate.
Mm-hmm.
I need something to alternate with. Well, you know, since you announced something in June, I'll also announce something in June. So, you know. Uniting to Confront Bias and Hate in My Community is the 2006 Oregon Hate Crimes Conference, which will take place at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, June 21st to 23rd. Among the keynote presenters are Dolores Huerta and Sherman Alexi. For conference details and registration on the web. Oh, just the web address is so long.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's oregonstate.edu/conferences/hatecrimes2006. But, you know, you have a few weeks to prepare for it. you can register online.
To give the information.
And for a phone information, the contact is in Corvallis, 541-737 6439. And this is for the 2006 Oregon Hate Crimes Conference, which will take place June 21st to 23rd, 2006.
Okay. And then I have another notice. This one takes place much more quickly. It takes place March 31st from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Southeast Health Center. That's at 3653 Southeast 34th Avenue. Let's see, I think maybe about a block south of Powell, roughly that, on 34th. This is a Catholic Charities Immigration Legal Services event using immigration laws to stop domestic violence and child victimization. Immigrant survivors of domestic violence face specific challenges. Congress has created laws to prevent the use of someone's immigration status to further abuse or exploit him or her. Service providers play an important role in identifying and referring immigrants potentially eligible for these immigration benefits. Catholic Charities Immigration Legal Services is given a presentation to address the following topics: domestic abuse issues specific to Latino populations, the Violence Against Women Act, U visa for crime victims, special immigration juvenile, immigrating through family. There is no charge, but space is limited. Please RSVP with Anna Marie Headley. Anna Marie's number is 503-542-2855, extension 42, or just ask for Anna Marie. This, again, takes place March 31st from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Southeast Health Center, which is at 3653 Southeast 34th. And then finally, and I'm looking for a drop-dead date on this one. Ah, there it is. I knew it was today. Okay. You have an opportunity, if you are quick and get your resumes in by close of business day, 5 p.m. today, to join the Downspout Disconnection Crew Leaders team. The employment runs from April 4th through mid-October. There will be 10 Saturday events, plus approximately 11 weekday events during the school year to help Portland's rivers and communities. The job pays $13.67 with no benefits. Excuse me. Strong leadership and communication skills, bilingual or plus, send resume and cover letter. Indicate the position for which you are applying, and you can send your resume in care of Ann Peterson. Actually, I suggest you take it down there since it closes today.
Today.
Yes. Ann Peterson, Community Involvement Coordinator, Downspout Disconnection Program, 1120 Southwest 5th, Room 1000 here in Portland. There you go.
And if you were unable to get the information about these announcements, let me remind you that information will be available at the front desk here at KBOO. So give us a call. Call the station after 9 for more information. Again, I remind you, if you have events or activities for the wider community to hear and know about, please feel free to drop us a line here at KBOO. Make sure for the community to be aware of activities that are happening here. So those are some of the announcements that are here on Monday, March 20th, 2006 at 7:49 a.m. Again, I remind you that you're listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. This morning, we thought we would have an opportunity for the listeners to share of concerns, so we'll have an open forum. Later on, we'll open the lines, and you feel free to give us a call. We must limit the amount of time you are able to speak, but we want to make sure that all who desire have an opportunity, so feel free to give us a call. And but before we open up for a wider discussion, many of you, I'm sure, were participated at the event yesterday at Waterfront Park, the large rally opposing U.S. Action in Iraq. And joining us shortly is Will Seaman, who was part of the organizing team, and this rally was endorsed, it says here in this press release, by 158 organizations, and I'm looking over a page and a half of listing of names of organization. And, you know, Will, you know, there's 158 organizations here, and I'm sure someone said, oh, we should have signed up, but our name isn't listed. But that was quite an impressive turnout yesterday. And so, Will, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you again for having me on.
Tell us about the event yesterday. Did it meet your expectations and the organizers' expectation in terms of turnout and how people responded?
Well, we were very, very happy to see so many people out there. We were happy, of course, with the weather, but more importantly, we were happy with the thousands of people who feel strongly enough about this issue to come out and spend an afternoon listening to some wonderful speakers, Ramon Ramirez from PICUN, the Farm Workers Labor Union here in the Pacific Northwest, the Reverend Haynes, who also spoke. We had Stephen DeFord from Military Families for Peace and other veterans organizations. It really was a wonderful rally. And then, of course, the march itself, to see the teeming thousands of people marching through the streets of Portland for, I think it was over an hour and a half, to get through this gigantic population of people. It was a very inspiring day, and certainly the organizers were very happy with the turnout. And I think really the Portland and the Pacific Northwest should be very happy and very proud that once again this community has distinguished itself as a kind of a leader for the nation in terms of its commitment to this struggle to change the direction of this country. So yes, we were all very happy. We think that the turnout yesterday, of course, is just another indication of the change, the growing opposition to this war. And the people in Washington, D.C., our elected officials, need to see this kind of turnout as a measure, as a barometer on the attitude of the population of this country, and they should see it as a mandate to begin to vigorously challenge the policies of the Bush administration, not simply speaking out, but actually co-signing on to the important legislation that's now beginning to appear that would force this administration to bring the troops home.
One thing that I noticed about the event yesterday, in addition to the great speakers and the weather. So whoever was responsible for the weather, give them my thanks for that. But was also there were tents booths there for organizations, so people could certainly rally and listen to the speakers, but also find out information about organizations who are doing some wonderful work in the community.
Yeah, and this is such an important part of this kind of work. The rally and march are, I think, very important because they do show the depth of feeling, how strongly people feel. It's not simply that they feel this way and they're willing to sit at home and feel this way, but they're willing to go out and be in the streets and be a visible presence. They're not afraid. They're not intimidated by the tactics of this administration and of police bureaus, these counterterrorism bureaus that are rounding up people who speak out. They are not intimidated. So that's a very important act. But of course, it is far more important that we are beginning to build the organizations in our community. And that was what was represented out there in those booths, at those literature tables, to build the organizations in our community that can begin to affect the political culture of our community and our society. We need not simply to be able to elect officials that we like in terms of their campaigns. We need to be able to hold those officials accountable. We need to have the political strength through our organizations, through a genuine peace movement, that can begin to actually change the politics of this country. And it requires a deeper change, simply, than a change, for example, in Congress. We need to do much more to change how our political representatives are selected for office, and then, of course, it's so important that we're able to hold them accountable once they're in office.
Speaking of holding elected officials accountable, that certainly seems to be a step that people should be involved in. I did notice Congressman Blumenauer at the rally yesterday. But as you suggested, there's more things that needs to be done. What are things that people who happen to attend the rally, who are interested in peace, what are some of the things that they can do to make substantive change in our community?
Well, I think, you know, we are very gratified that Congressman Blumenauer attended the rally. We're even more very pleased and encouraged by the fact that he has taken such positive steps, introducing legislation to speed the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. So that deserves our support. And the way he gets our support, the way and here, again, is something concrete people can do. Yes, of course, we want to contact Blumenauer's office to encourage him and to thank him for this. But much more important than that is that we contact David Wu, Darlene Hooley, I'm sure Peter DeFazio is supportive of this, that we contact Senator Wyden and Senator Smith, our elected officials, and if you're listening in Southwest Washington, that you're contacting your elected officials to sign on to this legislation, to support this legislation, so that people like Earl Blumenauer aren't standing alone or aren't standing in a small minority in their party taking an active role against this war and occupation. And the same goes, for example, for the courageous senator from Wisconsin, Senator Russell Feingold, who is standing alone with this motion to censure Bush for these illegal wiretaps, a felony offense that he has confessed to. And Senator Feingold is finding it difficult to find co-sponsors or people who will sign on to support this motion to censor. Now, of course, Senator Wyden should be signed on, should be an ally in that. And this is a very concrete step people can take immediately to begin to influence the political climate, and that is to contact these offices and demand politely, yes, respectfully, but very forcefully, that they support these moves in Congress to bring an end to this war and to hold the Bush administration to account. Now, beyond that, of course, building a genuine political society, a civic society in which the interests of the broad community are represented by our elected officials. And unfortunately, sadly, tragically, right now, that is simply not the case. There are exceptions, but today our political climate has been so corrupted by campaign financing, by the power of corporations that whose interests go far beyond the borders of this country, but that so grossly are overrepresented in terms of their interests in our elected in our electoral process in this country. That is going to take a longer view. It means that we have to be committed to making this involvement, this political involvement, a part of our life. We have to find a way of making that political involvement sustained in our life, building organizations. And we don't want to drive people away by boring meetings, but becoming a part of your community and becoming a part of the deliberative process in terms of building these organizations has to be a part of that process, I think.
In terms of next steps for those who organize the event, what are some of the next steps we can look forward to?
Well, I think for many of us, what we would like to see, 158 organizations signed on as either co-sponsors or endorsers or and endorsers. And the only difference there is that the co-sponsors kicked in a little chunk of money to try to cover the expenses of these events. And let's face it, war is expensive, peace is priceless, but that priceless price tag does cost some money. We need to support these organizations in our community financially in addition to our sweat equity. We need to be supporting them financially. But I think the next steps for many of us, we feel that we obviously have here in the Portland region, in the Pacific Northwest, a tremendous, broad, and diverse progressive community. It represents such a broad set of interests, but I think a set of interests that if you're not specifically working on it, you certainly support it, whether it's healthcare rights or labor rights or environmentalism, or human rights abroad, or civil rights here in the United States, all of these different organizations, and not just organizations, of course, social justice organizations, but local businesses as well, many of these organizations, I think, this broad community, could develop into a political force that can begin to intervene in the political life of our community. Now, that's happening to a greater or lesser degree, but I think what we'd like to see as next steps is the emergence of that kind of strong, cohesive political community locally that can genuinely begin to influence the political life, the sorts of policies that are pursued, the priorities of our elected officials in our community. I think many of us feel that that's an important next step. But look, there are so many different next steps that need to be taken. Some of them focused very, very narrowly on the war in Iraq to bring the troops home, to bring the U.S. occupation to an end, and then some of those views taking a longer view about how we're going to transform the society at a deeper level so that we no longer are forever fighting against the next intervention. Will the next intervention be against Iran or North Korea or Syria? There's a lot of work to be done. We need to take a long view, but we need to take heart in the fact that we are not alone in this struggle, that we have a very broad and diverse community that we're a part of in this struggle.
Some of the things that people are doing in addition to addressing their congressional representatives are working in these diverse organizations. And perhaps you could comment in terms of how you were able to get such a broad, diverse group. I mean, everyone from the Northwest Vegetarian Education Committee to Mojo Coffee Den were a part of this. And how can this energy continue in terms of cooperative works? You had a diverse line of speakers there. You mentioned Ramon Ramirez from Pacoon and Dr. Haynes. And also the Iraqi journalist. So you had a diverse group of people there. What are the ways in which this progressive movement can stay together and support one another?
Well, I think this is a key challenge for all of us, to find those ways of building bridges between organizations, many of which are simply so overwhelmed by the specific struggle that they're engaged with, that it is difficult to sort of raise your head up, look around, and find the allies in this struggle. And I think, you know, really, the challenge is not so much to these individual organizations, but to folks who are not yet engaged themselves to begin to be a part of this community. And I'm the first to recognize that's a very big step for each individual to take. It does often mean a change in one's life. But I think it means a change in one's life that's deeply gratifying and that is enriching. But it means more people becoming involved and assisting in building this broader kind of political community, this broader civic community here in the Portland and in the Pacific Northwest. I don't want to be Portland-centric because, of course, the people who came to this rally were from all over Oregon and parts of Southwest Washington. But I think, yes, there are challenges to individual organizations and to the people who are already involved, but I think the biggest challenge is in growing that community of people who are actively trying to build this broader political entity or alliance that can begin to act within our community. I mean, the challenges are many, but I think a large part of that has to do with breaking through this kind of threshold of having a relatively small number of people who are organizing, for example, this kind of peace rally in March, into something more than a small number of people, but rather something that you could actually talk to as the peace and justice community. And that takes more people from the broader community, more people who feel the same way, but have not taken that step of becoming active in a consistent, ongoing way. And I think if we can build that community, then we can begin to have the organizational strength to really make a change in our society.
You're bringing up a really good point, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here for just a moment with regard to engaging those who have yet to become activated. You hear from time to time that marches and rallies are not as effective as they used to be because tactics that we need to influence our leadership has changed, and especially when leadership and specifically the president says, I don't pay attention to what I see out here in the streets. I don't govern by focus group, as was said, I think, in the past election, during the past administration. How do you keep this movement, this type of protest, relevant to people who have yet to become engaged, who may not see this as a viable form of protest?
Well, I think I'm the first to agree that rallies and marches are not enough. They're certainly not going to influence this administration, the Bush, Rumsfeld, Cheney administration. But what they are, I think, is an indication of the strength of feeling in the broader community. If you have a lot of people who feel that what the direction of the country is wrong, but are simply not acting on that, then the Bushes and the Rumsfeld and the Cheneys of the world will continue to act because there are no consequences to the dissent that is growing in the community. So a rally and march is simply a manifestation of that dissent, that dissent in the community and the strength of that dissent. But of course, what needs to happen is that we need to move, and really what has been happening, I think, across the country to greater or lesser degree, and certainly here in Portland as well, is that organizations are taking on other aspects of trying to intervene in the political process. Mm-hmm. So for example, you do have plenty of people who are specifically focused on lobbying elected officials. You have people who are specifically working within organized labor to build solidarity, to build a kind of a consensus within organized labor, and that's a very significant force in our country still, opposing this war. So you had this remarkable, really an historic platform adopted by the AFL-CIO against this war and occupation. Mm-hmm. Now, that is an indication of the undercurrents, the less visible kinds of organizing that's going on. And so to say that a march and a rally is not necessarily effective with the Bush administration, that may well be true. We hope, though, that we are not just speaking to the Bush administration, but that we are energizing, activating, drawing in the broader community, that when they act politically, they can, if not influence the Bush administration, they can begin to influence those people who are in elected positions of power to, if we can't change the Bush administration's policies, ultimately, of course, we want to change the regime. Right?
Right.
The regime change begins at home. That certainly is another goal. It's a complex picture. I don't mean to put a gloss on it. Mm-hmm. But I think for people who are feeling cynical, for people who are feeling frustrated or demoralized, I think they need to take heart in the fact that there is such they are part of a majority in this country, not just a majority in this country, of course. We've recently heard a majority of the soldiers in U.S. soldiers in Iraq who want an end to this occupation. And I think, but that doesn't happen simply by feeling that. It happens when we take action, when we make the feelings that we have about this, the political commitments that we feel, when we make those concrete by intervening in the political process. And that can mean helping to support local organizations financially. It can mean helping them with your volunteer time. It can mean writing a letter to the editor. It can mean writing a letter to an elected official. There are many ways of manifesting that dissent, but it must be manifested more than simply a feeling or an emotion.
And I think one thing that's great about having such a large group of endorsers and organization, each with their own unique calling and opportunity, is that there are opportunities for all of us to find a space, a place in the wider social justice, peace, and justice movement. So if, for example, I don't feel that I can lobby, that there are organizations who are doing different things that people can be a very meaningful part of, and mm-hmm. so we don't have to feel as if we're all powerless.
Absolutely. I think what people in this, especially in this region, have is a tremendous range of choices about how they become involved. And just as you say, it can mean something as, let us say, conventional as lobbying our elected officials, but it can also mean doing very, very radical community education work to try to change the situation in which people who have been so miseducated and misled by the commercial media of this country, and here, of course, supporting radio stations, community media like KABU, is such an important part of building this community.
We're speaking this with Will Seaman of Portland Peaceful Response, and thank you for joining us this morning. If people want to know more about Portland Peaceful Response or how they might become involved, what is the contact information?
Well, I'd love to give you our homepage is pprc-news, pprc-news.org. And I think you do have to put www on the beginning of that. Mm-hmm. Or they can call our voicemail at 503-344-5078. That's 503-344-5078. And we'd love to hear from you. But again, you know, if you do a little Google search on peace and justice here in the Portland area, I'm sure you'll find tremendous groups like Peace and Justice Works, Oregon Peace and Justice Works, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, War Resisters League. I mean, there's wonderful counter-recruiting work being done locally. There's, of course, Code Pink. There's a tremendous range of choices for getting involved.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and thank you and all those who did such a tremendous work to get the rally tomorrow. And take some time off to take care of yourself and continue the good work.
Thank you, Cecil and Celeste, for your wonderful work at KABU.
All righty. Take care. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, 100.7 in the Willamette Valley, and on the web, kboo.fm. More talk radio in effect with Cecil and Celeste. And we have an open forum today, don't we?
We do. And We can open up the lines. And the lines, phone numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call. It's an open forum.
Yeah, it's only a few ground rules. 3-minute conversation, or we can just listen to you for 3 minutes, you know, make your point. There are requests. Well, no, I shouldn't say requests, mm-hmm. but we have requirement, yes, that you don't disparage people to, how should we say that, offensive ends?
Offensive ends.
Okay, and have a point.
Have a point.
Have
okay.
a point. That's it.
Okay, well, thank you, and let's get to our first caller. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
It's Monday.
It is. I'd like to thank you for offering us this open forum, and I'd like to use my time to recommend a movie, which is playing locally.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The movie is called The Boys of Baraka.
Yes.
It is playing at Cinema 21. I don't know if either of you have seen it.
No, I haven't.
I've read about it, yeah.
I highly recommend it to everyone. As I was watching the movie, I said to myself, if I were Empress of America, I would require every American from the ages of 10 to about 80 to see this movie. I think it was fantastically well done, and I'll rewind to tell people who haven't heard.
Yeah.
This is a documentary, and it is a documentary about a school program which takes 20 boys from downtown Baltimore and sends them to Kenya to a boarding school for a year of studying. The movie focuses on 4 of these 20. It is fascinating, extremely well done, and I guarantee that it will provoke a lot of soul-searching and a lot of inquiry in the audience. And I think it really says a lot about the state of America, the state of our inner cities, the state of education. And essentially, my point of view is how we readily abandon our children and deprive them of the chance to be, to grow, to be strong and productive human beings. And the way the camera focuses on the faces of the people involved, the family members, the children, is just astonishing. It's a real knockout. So I would like to recommend it to everyone.
And that's The Boys of Barakah at Cinema 21?
That's right. And if you would like, I'll give a phone number for more information.
Sure,
Cinema
certainly.
21 has a line. It's located in Northwest Portland on 21st Avenue. And the phone number to call for more information is 503-223-4515. It is playing this week. Thank you.
Thank you.
And our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we want to invite you to give us a call and be a part of our conversation. Our last caller called to recommend The Boys of Barakah, which is playing at Cinema 21 this week. And for information there, give us you may call them at 503-223-4515. And we're passing notes with one another. And let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. 1943, Walter Lippmann wrote a book called U.S. Foreign Policy. And he said that we should never get in a position where we do not balance our commitments with our power. Now, in this Iraq situation, we have an insolvent policy because we have never balanced our power with our commitments. This is why most of the world hates us for what we're doing, because we would rather spend billions of dollars in a war when our people in this country and around the world that need help. And I don't agree with the word happy thing. I think it's just another step so that the military national complex can take over the country.
Okay, now I'm trying to recap what you said here. And I know the gist of it is balancing our commitments with our power,
yeah.
Not making enemies abroad by wanton use of power, inappropriate yeah. use of our finances, and building up of our military industrial complex, both to the detriment of potential friends abroad, but more importantly to our people here.
Yeah. Well, like being a shooter chopper, the teeter-totter on one side is the world, and we're up in the air.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the image of a teeter-totter, you know, and helping the world and putting us up in the air with our feet dangling. Sometimes I think we need to be aware that that is a very deliberate tactic. You keep your people off balance,
yeah.
and feed a certain level of propaganda to get us to not necessarily think deeply, but to go along with the program, and it just makes it easier to do what's being done, like you said, to abuse our power.
Well, much what they say is, man, it's just misleading statements. They think that they can fool us forever. But like you said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time.
Well, you know, given the fact that we had a really well-attended rally yesterday, and even the media had to give it up and say it was well attended and give some concrete indicators like 15 blocks worth of people walking from, you know, building from sidewalk to sidewalk abreast, indicates that most of the people are not being fooled most of the time.
Yeah.
We just have to make sure we connect with those people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah.
And you're listening to KBOO, More Talk Radio, with Cecil and Celeste. We have an open forum this morning, and so that's an opportunity for you to give us a call. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Earlier we spoke with Will Seaman, who was an organizer for the peace rally yesterday. He gave some comments about future actions and things that you may want to do. A subsequent caller reflected about that, our last caller, about the administration and how we, how people can respond to that. And an earlier caller recommended a film, which is at Cinema 21, which is The Boys of Baraka. So this is your opportunity to give us a call, 503-231-8187. And
share your thoughts, build community, get some feedback, explore your options, dialogue.
And dialogue. So I think we'll go to our next caller, and thank you for waiting. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Oh, I didn't have to wait very long.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was at the rally yesterday. Actually, it's the first time I ever went to one of those.
So, uh-huh.
I'm hopeful that maybe the numbers will inspire some of potential candidates for elected office that were willing to speak out against the war. I'm was disappointed there were no elected officials visible there. I think it's important, and I don't understand their timidity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I did see Congressman Blumenau on his bike, but I don't know that any spoke from the platform, and maybe that was good. Maybe they need to hear us, but
listen.
But I think we do need to put pressure on our elected officials. I know that there are some people who are going to speak with Senator Wyden today to see if they can make him do the right thing. But that was your first rally you mentioned. Any other impressions that you have from that?
Well, again, I was thinking in terms of a political picture in the elections, and I think the Democrats, at least nationally, need to come up with some positive ideas. Not necessarily about the war, because it's like Vietnam; it's a quagmire. And I foresee a pullout of Vietnam in Iraq, much like Vietnam, where they're going to go back into the cities and leave the countryside alone, the smaller towns alone, and gradually pull out. But anyway, what I wanted to say was I think there are other programs, other things, other positive areas. I personally, for one, and I know I'm in a minority, would like to see a draft reinstated, and something on a scale of where there would be national service. It wouldn't have to necessarily be military service, and that would be universal. Mm-hmm. I think we need people need to feel they have a stake in things.
Hmm.
Well, I don't.
If we had more time, I would like to kind of expand upon that. I have a personal feeling. I feel like you should do something like AmeriCorps or a civilian corps or a youth corps. You do something to build up the country,
exactly.
Or work with elderly or just.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I'm for that.
I think a lot of the youth could fill a big role in health care.
Yep, right. I agree.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you for your call.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you folks very much. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
And the last call had a suggestion about a national service. And, you know, I don't think only for those 18 to 21, but some of those.
Until you can't. Right.
In terms of
whatever can't means, you know, we have so many riches in our people. We sometimes forget how to take advantage of that. Sometimes we ourselves forget how much of a value and asset we are to the country, because we're often told all we are is a bunch of cattle that spend money and by golly, get back to work so you can make some more money and spend it.
Instead of doing that, let's build community.
Let's build community, absolutely.
And one way we can do this is by listening to you, so we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, you.
Hi, I was at the rally yesterday, and I just wanted to say thank you guys for getting the word out there. and letting everybody know about it. That was the first place I heard about it, was on KBOO. I'm also a veteran. I just got out of the Navy this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Louisiana. And one thing I've noticed is with my own family, people are afraid to stand up and say that they support the troops and they're against the war. It seems like supporting your troops has to mean that you want them to stay over there.
Well, you know, it's because the conversation that has been said already, it's already been framed early on during the conflict, which said, if you don't support the troops, then you're against this country. If
right.
you don't support the war, then you don't support the troops, which means you're against this country. And so you're right. People have not been able to step out of that false dichotomy.
Right.
False dichotomy and actually engage themselves and realize I can be supportive of my troops and really figure out what that means. And we're not hearing enough language. So as a former military person, how could we support the troops but not support the war? What kind of acts do you think the troops would feel but understand it's time to come home?
I think yesterday was a great example because there was a lot of support for the troops, a lot of chants. We'd support them by bringing them home.
Okay.
I notice now that there are some parents standing up and saying, you know, I support my son over there, but I want him to come home alive. I don't support him in this war for oil and this war for capitalism and profit. And I'm actually recognizing it more and more. And things like yesterday are really helping out. But when we got home last night, we turned on the news, and there's a story of a man whose son died in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
but he still supports the war, and that was the headline on the news, not the rally.
Right, right. I'm not sure which channel you watched. I watched one that begrudgingly admitted that there was a lot of folks at the rally,
right.
but it also mentioned, well, here's a family who lost a son, and who it might have been the same story. I think what happens for some people is on a personal level, they try to find some way to validate that loss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the continued presence validates that loss, and their child did not die for nothing. And I can appreciate that because it makes them feel as though some concrete end will be realized. But it's really, I think, the words of people like yourself who have served, who have been there, and who can really speak from that position of strength that really helps not only those of us who have never been, but those who have lost someone,
right.
appreciate the need to return.
Right. Well, I got to go. Thank you for your time, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you for your call.
And thank you for your service. One of the speakers yesterday was, a father who had lost a son in the conflict over there, speaking out against it. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. You're listening.
We're listening
to you. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, turn that radio down.
Thank you very much. I think that we need to have the full range or balance. We've put both of our hands out in front of us. It's easy to focus just on the left pinky or just the right thumb. And they're both true, but we need to have all of them. We put our hands out, we can hold more. We can accomplish more than just one finger at a time. And part of that is, you know, we need to have times where we just feel good. There's nothing wrong with feeling good. We need to be playful and creative and speak out and dance and sing and hug each other and dress up, and it's great to sing along. And it's also true that we need to get beyond just feel-good selfishness and get something accomplished and hang in there when things are tough, when it doesn't feel good. And it's true that we can write letters and email and write the newspapers and give our money to KBOO. And before I go into more of the other stuff, KBOO's been around for like 35 years, and Portland is the only city that I know of throughout the United States, this size or larger, that has been going stronger community on a lot of things that are really good for society and sustainable, and we've had all sorts of grassroots organizations. While other cities without community radio, not as strong, during that same time period, lost community. They lost their fraternal organizations, their churches, their neighborhood associations, their labor unions, etc.
Mm-hmm.
KBOO has made that difference. And one of the wonderful things about the rallies and the speeches and the dances and things like that, it's not going to change my beliefs because I'm already convicted. It's not going to stop me. I'm already emailing. I'm already writing. I'm already talking to folks. I'm already embarrassing my kids every chance I have a chance to terrorize them. You know, I'm already out there. I'm already investing money. I'm already boycotting or buying foods or not buying food certain ways, selecting phone companies or, you know, turning down certain phone companies already. But we also need to have a fellowship. The affirmation, we're not alone. We need to let our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, our coworkers know we're not the only one. You know, our teenagers are still not going to believe. We're not the only one. Hey, there's some cool guys out there that kind of believe the same way as, you know, dorky, embarrassing mom. And we need to have phone numbers and postcards and some strategies out there. We say, okay, you believe this? You know, here's the petitions to sign. You believe this? Here's the volunteer sign-up. You believe this? I mean, there's a wide range of things that we can act on. We all have our different passions. And if we're not a disparate, conflicted, you know, scattered, bizarre group of people as we might be pictured, we see that it's all connected, and we collect together with that. We can. And yes, we need to be aware that there is corrupt voting counts and voting procedures, and
thank you.
We can still make a difference. We don't
absolutely
need to accept that. We can have voter-owned software and hardware, and we can still influence. We can still pray for. We can still talk respectfully and compassionately with those we disagree with. Smith has been making some good decisions. You know, we can.
Right, right. Well, I just wanted to thank you so much for your points.
Thanks, bye.
All righty, bye-bye.
And there are ways in which we can celebrate, and who was it that said, if I can't...
if I can't have a party, I don't want to come.
I don't want to be part of your revolution.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, it's Monday, my brain is not... At least I got part... I knew the quote.
You knew the quote, yeah.
But I can't remember the author.
Well, and I do appreciate those who organized the rally to include lots of singing yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think that was something that was missing in earlier rallies I attended. So,
in praise of peace.
In praise. Music and culture is so much a part of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I'd like to make the comment that got left out of last week's discussion on people coming into the country without waiting for the law to say that they could, that as long as our government is dismantling the subsistence farming economies of South America in the name of free trade, that is actually driving the illegal immigration. And that when we talk about illegal immigration, it's really important to talk about that, too, because otherwise we're leaving the door wide open to the fascists to scapegoat the victims of our own government.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And, you know, I think for the most part, when you do have both the time and the opportunity for some well-rounded conversation about immigration, about so-called illegal immigration, and the impact and the motivations of undocumented workers, most folks do incorporate the fact that the United States and its exported economy does dismantle both the political and the economical, and to a large degree, the social systems of a lot of these other countries, and that's why people come. You're absolutely right.
People out on our fringe of everything do, but people in the middle often don't, and we really need to keep emphasizing that whenever we're in dialogue with anybody to the in the middle of the road or to the right, because they completely leave that out, and it's all blame the victims, which is fascism.
Well, I thank you for your call and also for your reminder of us to continue to be in dialogue with those who disagree with us or those who may be uncertain. As long as we maintain contact and communication, change is possible. So thank you for raising those points in how to talk about immigration.
Thank you.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here, FM 91.9, and the Columbia River Gorge and the Willamette Valley, 100.7. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Today is not only the first day of spring, but it is open forum. I guess you can call that a communicative spring cleaning.
Spring? Oh, wow. We're becoming...
Hey, that was the end of all of my cerebral clarity.
Well, you mentioned you didn't have any clarity. It may be because I do notice that obviously, you celebrated St. Patrick's Day. Only because I see green glitter in your hair.
Yeah, that stuff is some tenacious stuff. Okay. We're going to try really hard to get rid of it because the holiday is done.
Okay.
You know, in honor of my granddad, may he rest in peace.
Is he Irish?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Well, I kind of like it.
My dad's dad, yeah.
It's nice and sparkling.
It's good. It speaks to the whole strength of diversity in this country, you know, because everybody should feel happy in celebrating. I mean, I celebrate Asian New Year, you know, Chinese New Year too. Not for any particular reason, it's just that having grown up and had a lot of friends who were Chinese and Vietnamese, you mark certain ways, you know. We talk about diversity and conversation and strength and diversity. And immigration. Mm-hmm.
And for you, give us a call here if you talk about our cultural diversity. Let's go to the next caller. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. And I'm kind of thinking that, well, if there's a holiday to be celebrated, everyone should celebrate.
Hey, yes. I'm right there. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody and it doesn't commemorate any major pains.
That's right. And, you know, as one from the disenfranchised party, the only other party that I will consider would be the cocktail party. It wouldn't be Democrats or Republicans.
You know, one thing about a cocktail party, though, it sounds like you have to dress up. Is that true?
Oh, not necessarily. Not anymore.
Oh, good.
You've seen the New World Order.
That is true.
But anyway, what I was just delighted to hear someone talking about national service, because for a long time I've been thinking, well, the cool thing that would be if, and I don't think waiting until people are 18. I'm thinking when the young people are at their most insolent.
Oh, you mean like around 12 or 13?
Yeah, whatever age it hits, even if it's 10 or 16, you know. Okay, you pop them in there.
Well, you know, the moment you hit double digits.
Has to be a double digit.
Yeah, okay. So at 10.
10 works.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and it just depends, I say, attitude, and pop them in there, and they get to do all sorts of things. They get to work the fields. They get to work in the children's hospital with those poor little kids. They get to work in the nursing homes with the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a wait position. That would be real good for them.
Work in government.
Yeah.
Work in parks and recs. Work in... out in, what is it that works for ecology? We have a department. Department of the Interior and of the Environment. You know, go out and clear out parks, national areas.
Clean up and build up, yeah.
Yes.
You know, kind of like what the old CCC did.
Exactly. Yes.
But the best part would be the last thing they do just before they leave the service, before they graduate onto their next step in life, is they spend at least 6 months cleaning public toilets.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like that. It's scary, but it's, you know, it's humbling. It gives you a sense of purpose.
Would be. I mean, no matter whether they're rich or poor.
Right. Yep, that's true.
It would be a lovely thing, and no one gets to skate. No one gets to buy someone to do their job for them.
That's right.
They all get to do that. And anyway, that's my thought for this Monday morning, and thanks so much.
Thanks for your call.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this call for public service for two things.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize that, you know, we all can be involved from a younger age. And,
right.
You know, there are organizations, youth organizations that do that. And
mm-hmm.
so one question is, how do we get our young people involved in these various organizations? And the other thing, in terms of common call to service, I like the idea of cleaning public toilet or
mm-hmm.
something similar.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, you know, one of the reasons I'm really big is because I grew up in the era of watching the commercials that advertised Vista and the Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so growing up, I was at that impressionable age when Kennedy was saying, ask not, you know, get busy. And that has a lot to do with my service in AmeriCorps and a few other national service ventures. And so I'm all for it. I believe, though, if we do that, we ought to figure out what are we going to do to compensate people. I called it my period of productive poverty. You know, there's 2 years of 2 years of bringing home $262 every 2 weeks, you know, after mm-hmm. taxes. That requires some incredible ingenuity and cooperation and collaboration.
And it also inhibits some who might be
mm-hmm.
interested in doing that unless they have some creative financing skills or other options open to them. So national service is something, or community service is something that should extend to all, and one in which people should find beneficial
uh-huh.
and able to eat.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about national service that's a little bit scary, though, is that when it is used as part of the welfare to work program, it does not always, number one, provide people who are adequately trained for the job, but by the same token and conversely, it does not also adequately prepare people for the workforce. Now, this is just some programs, not all. And so what we have to do is we have to demand from our elected officials that they look into the agencies that do offer national service, and they shore them up and they strengthen them, and they make sure that the people get all of the benefits that they can. There are programs that I'm familiar with that are trying to be part of AmeriCorps that will work with, say, ex-offenders, but it doesn't necessarily pay a living wage.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a group that I don't think can benefit from national service because they're going to have, they come out already with major debts. So when you are released from prison, you may be facing large child support bills. You may be facing restitution bills. So, you know, to put you on in a position where you are making much less than minimum wage, let alone living wage, might be counterproductive.
Well,
that needs to be investigated a little bit more fully.
My point is, I think it needs to be investigated.
Mm-hmm.
And as the last caller suggested, I want to expand it more beyond ex-offender. I want
uh-huh.
to expand it for those people who had opportunities like me
uh-huh.
to go to prestigious universities and you see people in there you know, handing out the food or
making the service,
making
the donuts and the coffee.
I think everyone who goes to a private college or university ought to clean public toilets.
I don't have any problem with that because Lord knows, especially when I was on the board, I used to do it here and still do it at KBOO because, you know, if it needs it and you have the ability to respond, you have the responsibility.
Okay.
Boom. Okay.
So much for community. Let's hear what,
rah, rah, rah.
What others have to say.
If you want to join in the conversation, we have roughly 10 minutes or so, 12 minutes, 503-231-8187. Good morning. You're on the air, and thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I am just fine. I'm just fine.
All right.
Such a nice day, such a wonderful event yesterday.
And
there's more going on, too. There's a lot more going on. So I went to last night. I went to hear Luis Primo at the Carpenters Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Going in much more detail than he had a moment to there at that march, and he had a lot of good things to say. And it's really amazing about what happened in Venezuela. So I want people to watch for when it comes on cable access, his talk on the Carpenter's Hall, because it's really enlightening and inspiring. And briefly, one thing that he said was that to deal with CAFTA and NAFTA and these kind of trade agreements and everything else that's come along, the most important thing is for the anti-war movement and the peace movement in the United States to continue to grow. That there's plans on the table now for invasions of Venezuela. It's not for next month or next year, per se, but they have the plans already there. And along that line, building that peace movement, there are several things going on this week still. It was going to be a week of actions, and it grew into about 2 weeks. Today, at noon, at Terry Schrunk Plaza, there's a solidarity, so people can come down and assemble in solidarity to some people that are going to be presenting some petitions to Senator Ron Wyden.
Mm-hmm.
And they intend on staying in his office till he talks to them or they get arrested. So there's and he's moved his office to the federal building. So there's a on Southwest 3rd, between 3rd and 4th at Terry Schrunk Plaza.
There's a real risk of being arrested, so know that when you go in there.
Yeah, but well,
but the solidarity rally.
Right. If people don't want to get arrested, they can assemble in Terry Schrunk Plaza.
Right.
The other thing is people can call Ron Wyden's office. Look it up in the front of your phone book and tell him that those people delivering those petitions speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, and I don't know where this is going on, is the journalist from Iraq, Imam. If you guys can announce where she's going to be speaking tonight, she's going to be speaking in Portland tonight in much more detail. And she's a very courageous woman, and there's a lot to learn from that. And there's this coming Sunday from 3:30 to 6 at People's Food Co-op at 3029 Southeast 21st Avenue. It's the fourth Sunday of the month of the Northwest Progressive Community meets, and this Sunday will be a forum on conscientious objection and civil disobedience, war tax resistance and redirection. Where do you want your tax dollars to go? And then Cecil and Celeste, you guys might know about this. John Lewis has been has introduced again the religious freedom peace tax fund bill, where people can be declare themselves a conscientious objector and none of their taxes will go for war or police spying or political spying. And and so there's a dessert potluck from 3:30 to 4, and then there will be presentations from Portland War Resistance League at the Northwest Progressive Community from 4 to 6 p.m. on those three subjects at People's Food Store, 3029 Southeast 21st Avenue.
And this this Sunday.
Right, this coming Sunday.
Excellent.
Great.
Okay.
Well, this is a week of activity.
And, yeah, and people voted down there at a penny poll that the War Resistance League had. And they voted overwhelmingly to spend money on education. And what was really significant is that the Pentagon budget, usually in these penny polls, draws about 20 to 30%, and it was less than 10%, somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 7, because we haven't totaled up all the pennies yet. That at this march is what people wanted their money to be spent on, their tax dollars.
Well, thank you so much for all that information and all the work you're doing.
Thank you, Celeste and Cecil, for your job.
All righty. You have a wonderful day.
And let me remind those of you who are listening in, that coming up here at KBOO on the OMO Variety Hour at 9, we'll continue to talk about U.S. withdrawal from Iraq, the status of women in Iraq, a movie review, and a look at the Mayan Weavers Collective. 10 programmers from the KBOO's Persian Hour ring in the Persian New Year. There you go.
At the exact moment.
This is a yearly event at KBOO where it's always celebrated at the exact time of the beginning of the new year. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, hear about two Iraqi children who suffered near life-threatening injuries in the war in Iraq. Their fathers tell their stories, and two activists speak about their efforts to bring children to U.S. for medical attention. And actors and activist Harry Belafonte talks about why he was disinvited from the funeral of Coretta Scott King and how he's been blacklisted in places due to his political views. All that here at KBOO. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. I trust that I clicked on.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to put in a couple comments about yesterday. It was great to see that many people out in the street. I spent my time watching the route go by and waving to people and holding up the sign. And I was at the Yamhill and Broadway intersection right there by Pioneer Courthouse Square. I saw the end of the group pass by, and the front of the group had already gone up to Montgomery, up on PSU campus, down to 4th, and had come back and had passed 4th by several blocks when the end of the parade passed Yamhill and Broadway. It was quite a gratifying thing to see that many people all doing the same thing. But I also want to say that I couldn't find any of the people who seemed to understand why 67 million Americans have refused to pay federal income tax. And I asked people if they were U.S. citizens or Oregonians that owed a duty of taxation. And most of the, well, actually none of them, seemed to know what I was talking about. And I felt so sad. I need to get a clue about how to overcome my sadness. Celeste, you know what I need to do, don't you?
I don't share the same opinion you do, so you probably don't want to ask me.
Which opinion did I express?
The opinion about the fact that people don't necessarily understand what you mean about the taxes and about being an Oregonian and a United States citizen.
Oh, you don't? You talked to the same people I did, and you found that they all did understand?
No, that's not what I said. I just said I don't share the opinion. I don't think that people don't know. That's not what I think. I think that maybe the way it was put to them is irrelevant.
Well, could you give me an encouraging word about all the people who are joining up? I mean, did you hear about the We the People Congress event the previous Sunday at the Clinton Street Theater?
No, I didn't.
Well, that was a full house. You know, I went to that too, and I was very encouraged by it. It was actually an illegal standing room only crowd, but the theater I think only has a maximum seating of 200, so it wasn't very big, but it looked big. But the Robert Schultz, who's been asking about who has a duty to pay income tax, he asked every federal legislator and a lot of the executive branch personnel. And he and they have been asking for 4 years without having anyone be willing to give them an answer.
Oh.
And,
well, you know, persistence pays, except, you know.
Well, they filed a lawsuit.
Oh, and okay.
Next Friday, the 24th, Mr. Gonzalez has to respond to their lawsuit. They're basically.
Well, great.
So I'm. But.
Well, Collie.
They pointed out that 67 million people have already now said, hell no, we won't pay.
All right.
I didn't find any Portlanders like that.
Right. Well, you know, like I said.
Keep asking.
Well,
but your time is up now. And by over a minute. So.
Okay. But we want to get in these last couple of callers.
Yeah, at least one more.
Okay, good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting.
Did you see 60 Minutes last night?
No, I did not.
I think I did see it.
I kind of rested.
I've been that guy at times.
Uh-huh.
You're not seeing what you're seeing, right? That's what they told me, the corporados. I said, no, I'm seeing what I'm seeing. White is white and black is black. White isn't black and black isn't white. But, hey, doesn't Bush want to Katrinaize the planet now?
What do you mean by Katrinaize?
The way they said that they don't want to talk about carbon emissions and... You know, they talk about nuclear power as an alternative, but there's a lot of carbon emissions that go into making nuclear fuel and stuff and mining it and stuff.
Are you talking about the segment on 60 Minute where...
The global warming.
About the global warming and how they hushed government scientists.
Right.
And even the Corporado guys that they brought into the White House to rewrite it, the final one, I think his name was Cooney, even he couldn't do it anymore, and he left.
He left for a corporation, is that correct?
he went to the Exxon to become a PR guy.
So. Well, you know, the scary thing, and there was a notice about this, is the fact that, the Senate narrowly approved the budget. I think it was Budget Resolution 5179 that will allow oil and gas drilling in the Arctic. Okay, what does that mean? That means that they're desperately seeking more fuel to keep the carbon emission levels as they are, despite the fact that we've been told that global warming is reality by a lot of intelligent, deliberate people.
Yeah, but what about when all the caribou do a mass sit-in this spring? And just go up there.
Well, you know, the caribou probably won't, and it's probably going to be up to us to decide what kind of relevant and meaningful activity we can have. But unfortunately, our opportunity for relevant, meaning conversation is over.
It's a good solar cooking day.
All righty. Okay. Sounds like a plan to me. Solar cooking. I like that.
I like that.
Solar and wind today.
Solar and wind.
That's right. Well, we want to thank everybody that called in for dialogue, and community building today. I love Open Forum because we get to have some really interesting conversations, and you get a chance to talk about what's on your mind. We want you to stay tuned because we have the Old Mo Variety Hour coming up from 9 to 10, and then at 10 o'clock, we have the Persian Hour. Programmers ring in the Persian New Year. At 11, Democracy Now. And then, if you stay tuned, who knows what kind of enlightening moment you might have with our community-based programming. So stay tuned. We are your community connection. And if you don't already have your subscription to KBOO and you are not already a member, your time is coming up. Well, we will welcome you especially.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Good morning. You're tuned to the KBOO community radio station, KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it's the Old Mole Variety Hour. Topics today include U.S. withdrawal from Iraq, the status of women in Iraq, a movie review, and a look at the Mayan Weavers Collective. At 10 o'clock, programmers from KBOO's Persian Hour ring in the Persian New Year. This is a yearly event on KBOO, which always celebrates at the exact time of the beginning of the new year. And at 11 o'clock on Democracy Now!, we hear about two Iraqi children who suffered near life-threatening injuries in the war in Iraq. Their fathers tell their stories, and two activists speak about their efforts to bring the children to the U.S. for medical treatment. And actor and humanitarian Harry Belafonte speaks about why he was disinvited from speaking at the funeral of Coretta Scott King and how he's been blacklisted in places due to his political views.